News of the Church and Comment. President Hinckley honors St. George Pioneers. The Latter-day Saint Pioneers, who settled what is now St. George, Utah, arrived on the 1st of December, 1861. On the 9th of October, 1998, President Gordon B. Hinckley addressed about 4,000 people gathered for the dedication of a monument honoring those early pioneers. Located in Dixie College's Encampment Mall, enlisting the names of more than 900 original settlers, the monument features five life-size bronze sculptures by L. Deanne Trueblood and Jerry Anderson. Brigham Young had a great vision of making this area a self-sufficient community, said President Hinckley. If the people were to eat, they had to grow it. If they were to be sheltered, they had to cut the lumber, mill it, and put it in place to form houses. Many of the settlers left homes in Salt Lake Valley. It was hard to leave those little farms in Cottonwood and come down into this inhospitable and miserable place as it was at that time, President Hinckley said. The heat of summer never seemed to relent. There was no relief from it. Despite the harsh circumstances, the pioneers placed a high priority on culture, education, and worship. They danced, they played, they put on theatricals, President Hinckley said. They planted flowers to make their homes more beautiful. They built the magnificent temple and the beautiful tabernacle. Handcart Memorial Dedicated. Elder Hugh W. Pinnock of the 70, president of the North America Central Area, dedicated on the 19th of September a new life-size statue of handcart pioneers at the Mormon Trail Visitor Center at historic Winter Quarters near modern-day Omaha, Nebraska. The statue was sculptured by Franz Johansson of the Provo 6th Ward, the Provo, Utah Edgemont Stake. The handcart pioneers were a successful group of immigrants, even though tragedies occurred in some of the companies, Elder Pinnock said before offering the dedicatory prayer. We are aware of the tragic loss of life in the Martin and the Willie handcart companies. However, there were some companies where not a single life was lost. Those in attendance at the dedication ceremony included Nebraska Governor E. Benjamin Nelson, Omaha Mayor Hal Daub, and State Senator Dan Lynch, and several church, stake, and mission presidents. I felt spiritually moved by this great movement across our country, and particularly across the state of Nebraska, said Governor Nelson, because of the wonderful relationship that people developed, where they had to rely on one another and themselves, and understanding that together they were better. Elder Pinnock presented the governor with a copy of the governor's family history. Wagon train commemorates Canada Pioneers. A wagon train that departed from near Preston, Idaho on the 15th of August, 1998, to commemorate the journey of Latter-day Saint Pioneers to Canada, arrived in Cardston, Alberta, Canada on the 28th of September. The group of nine covered wagons and numerous walkers and outriders was welcomed in Cardston by residents and schoolchildren lining the streets and with a parade that was led by the mayor. Following a 750-mile course over paved and unpaved roads, about 45 people stayed with the wagon train for the entire six-week journey, with dozens of other participants joining for days or weeks at a time. The trekkers averaged about 20 miles a day, wore pioneer-style clothes, and rested on Sundays. Modern trucks and trailers were used to transport water, food, portable toilets, and animal feed. Latter-day Saint Pioneers were led by Charles Ora Card in 1887 to form a settlement on Lees Creek in southern Alberta, which later became Cardston. During subsequent years, several thousand church members moved north to the Cardston area and nearby. The Alberta Stake was organized in 1895 as the first stake outside the United States, and the Alberta Temple was dedicated in 1923 as the first temple outside of the United States. New Peru Missionary Training Center. This great building we will dedicate tonight is a supplement to the home, said Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles at the dedication of a three-story, 150-person missionary training center in Lima, Peru, on the 3rd of September. Every one of our homes is a missionary training center. We will put on the finishing touches here. The members of the South America West Area Presidencies, Elders Richard J. Maines and Ned B. Ruscha of the 70, and Elder Juan Uceda, an Area Authority 70, attended the dedication, as did six other Area Authority 70s serving in the South America West area. Also the presidents of all 33 Lima stakes and more than 300 Lima area bishops. Numerous community leaders and nearby residents were also in attendance. Describing the motives of missionary work, Elder Main said, "Through his ministry and his ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ clearly taught us that before thinking of himself, he was the first dedicated to the success and happiness of all his brothers and sisters. This is the reason why the church is so dedicated to missionary work." The new MTC building replaces an adapted, expanded house that had become too small. Missionaries studying in the new building will come mainly from Peru and Bolivia. Conversation, making family home evenings stronger. In one form or another, family home evening has been important from the beginning of time, says Dennis Lifrith, the managing director of the church's priesthood department, which oversees the family home evening program. The Ensign recently met with Brother Lifrith to discuss the importance of family home evening. Question: is holding family home evening a commandment? Response: I view it like anything else the prophets suggest or recommend or counsel. We should follow, and great blessings are afforded when we do. In this Latter-day dispensation, the family home evening program was introduced in 1915 when President Joseph F. Smith and his counselors in the First Presidency wrote, "We advise and urge the inauguration of a home evening throughout the church, at which time fathers and mothers may gather their boys and girls about them in the home and teach them the word of the Lord. They may thus learn more fully the needs and requirements of their families, at the same time familiarizing themselves and their children more thoroughly with the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This home evening should be devoted to prayer, singing hymns, songs, instrumental music, scripture reading, family topics, and specific instruction on the principles of the gospel and on the ethical problems of life, as well as the duties and obligations of children to parents, the home, the church, society, and the nation." Quoted in the Messages of the First Presidency, compiled by James R. Clark, 6 volumes, Volume 4, page 338. In a 1994 letter, the First Presidency reminded all members of the church, local leaders should ensure that church buildings and facilities are closed, that no ward or stake activities are planned for Monday evenings, and that other interruptions to family home evenings be avoided. That says something about how important family home evening is. Of all times and seasons in the earth's history, family home evening is more vital now than ever because of the pressures of the world on families and children. It is a wonderful blessing to mothers, fathers, and children to meet together on Monday and have a chance to escape from the world, become more united, and share the gospel with each other. The primary purpose of family home evening is to strengthen families through teaching the gospel and growing closer to the Savior. Question: but family home evening doesn't have to be long, heavy, or elaborate, correct? Response: correct. There's a lot of flexibility in how we would hold our family home evening. What counts is the effort of getting together, trying our best to follow the counsel, and enjoying the blessings. Even in 1915, the First Presidency counseled that formality and stiffness should be studiously avoided. Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 4, page 338. The Church's Family Home Evening Resource Book, item number 31106, suggests, "Relax and enjoy it. The most important thing your children will remember is the spirit they feel in your family home evenings and activities. Be sure that the atmosphere is one of love, understanding, and enjoyment. It is more important to have a good time with one another than to get through a lesson. Don't be afraid to relax and enjoy your times together." The primary purpose of family home evening is to teach the gospel, but families also grow closer by doing fun things together. Refreshments are important, songs are important, and activities are important. Family home evening is probably not a good time to discipline or come down strong on family rules, but it should include serious times when parents can share their testimonies and encourage children to share their feelings and expressions of love for the family. On page 69, there is a picture of the Family Home Evening Resource Book. Question. Speaking of Family Home Evening Resource Book, what are the best sources for family home evening ideas and lessons? Response. The primary resource should be the Scriptures. The Family Home Evening Resource Book is also very useful and includes information about how to use the Scriptures. The resource book is easy for anyone in the family to pick up and choose a lesson from. It is well organized and has good suggestions for activities. Topics are timely and important, and in the back it has special lessons for occasions such as baptisms, marriages, and other important events in the family. Many other resources are available. The Ensign regularly publishes good suggestions for family home evening. The Gospel Principles Manual, item number 31110, has basic lessons on doctrine that can be used to teach the family. A church publication titled Family Guidebook, item number 31180, includes suggestions about holding family home evening and is especially useful for recent converts. The pamphlet for the Strength of Youth, item number 34285, can be used to teach standards for youth from the writings and teachings of church leaders and from the Scriptures. Question. Is family home evening just for families with children? Response. Family home evening is for everyone, wrote President Spencer W. Kimball and his counselors in the first presidency in 1976. It is for families with parents and children, for families with just one parent, and for parents who have no children at home. It is for home evening groups of single adults and for those who live alone or with roommates. Family Home Evening, page 3. From our very first day as a married couple, my wife and I tried to hold family home evening, even before we had children. By the time the children came, it was a family tradition. Some of the best lessons are given by children. Letting them conduct family home evening and teach lessons helps them develop leadership skills and prepare for missions and service in the church. After children grow up and leave, mothers and fathers can still spend time together on Monday nights to share their testimonies and read the Scriptures. Question. What about using family home evening as a missionary tool? Response. The concept of family home evening, spending time together, uninterrupted by outside interests, having activities, sharing ideas and feelings, teaching values, can strengthen all families, not just church members. We can set a good example by inviting families of other faiths into our homes to teach them this inspired program, perhaps with full-time missionaries present to give a gospel lesson if that is approved beforehand with the guests. However, perhaps a night other than Monday night would be appropriate to invite neighbors and friends over for home evening because it is important to reserve Monday night for the immediate family. Question. Would you summarize why family home evening is so important? Response. As we would expect, the prophets have said it best. The 1915 First Presidency letter stated, "If the saints obey this counsel, we promise that great blessings will result. Love at home and obedience to parents will increase. Faith will be developed in the hearts of the youth of Israel, and they will gain power to combat the evil influence and temptations which beset them." Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 4, page 339. In 1976, the First Presidency wrote, "Regular participation in family home evening will develop increased personal worth, family unity, love for our fellow men, and trust in our Father in Heaven." Family Home Evening, page 3. In the current Family Home Evening Resource Book, the First Presidency wrote, "We promise you great blessings if you will follow the Lord's counsel and hold regular family home evenings. We pray constantly that parents and the church will accept their responsibility to teach and exemplify gospel principles to their children. May God bless you to be diligent in this most important responsibility." Roman numeral, page 4. Reaching Out in San Diego by Dan B. Clark. On a January day in 1847, the tattered and travel-weary Mormon battalion completed their 2,000-mile march to San Diego, California, saw the beautiful Pacific Ocean for the first time, and soon pitched in to help the small community. Now, 151 years later, more than 46,000 members are flourishing in 17 stakes and 116 wards and branches in San Diego County. But this growth has not changed the spirit of church members in their outward reach to the community. While members today aren't digging water wells and building courthouses, they are involved in serving the homeless, helping battered women and displaced children, entertaining the elderly, and becoming involved in community interfaith projects. In the Chula Vista stake, Coralie Anderson became interested in reaching out to her community and soon was involved in the area's interfaith council. After being elected president of the organization, she rallied 25 churches and service groups in Chula Vista to feed the homeless 2 days a week. Each ward in her stake alternates with other churches in preparing and serving almost 500 meals weekly to the homeless. Altogether, we and other churches make a difference in our communities through cooperation and fellowship, Coralie says. Youth of the church donate time in the Good Neighbor program, wherein teenagers help the elderly with yard work or talk with and entertain the senior citizens. Relief Society sisters in the El Cajon stake also work side-by-side with volunteers from other churches. They prepare packages of basic necessities and clothing for battered women's shelters and the Hillcrest Receiving Home, a center that cares for children who are temporarily homeless. Russ Canald, former director of the San Diego Stake Family History Center, came to San Diego in 1935 and has seen what was then a handful of members increase to more than 46,000 today. I remember special occasions when a president of the church, one of the apostles, would visit us at our building on 10th Avenue, he says. What an inspiration it was to our San Diego saints to have the brethren come to see us in conferences and special meetings. Heber J. Grant was the first president I saw here, then President George Albert Smith, and then David O. McKay. Brother Canald says the pulpit where these presidents addressed the saints is still in possession of the San Diego stake. The diverse population of the San Diego area is reflected in the church's membership. Thousands of Spanish-speaking members and Asian immigrants add strength and diversity to the local stakes in the area. To assist those who have come from Asian countries, Helen Reed of the San Diego East Stake teaches a weekly literacy class to members of the Asian 22nd branch. We use the scriptures to teach students to read and learn English. By using the scriptures, students become better acquainted with the gospel, she says. Part of the class centers on helping students prepare for receiving United States citizenship. The crowning jewel for the members in San Diego is the temple. During the six-week open house in 1993, more than 700,000 persons toured the temple, says Clyde Romney, former director of public affairs for the area. Even though there is no visitor center on the temple grounds, hundreds of non-members come onto the grounds to ask about the stunning edifice, he continues. Missionaries from the San Diego Mission are assigned to meet and answer the visitors' questions. The temple serves members living in the San Diego County, parts of Orange County and Tijuana, Ensenada, and Mexicali, Mexico. All told, there are about 92,000 members in the temple district. Not far from the temple is the Mormon Battalion Visitor Center, located in Old Town. Thousands of visitors come to the center each year and learn about the contributions of the battalion to San Diego in the 1840s. The pioneering spirit and willingness to help others that was evident in the Mormon Battalion members still exists today in the San Diego Saints as they raise their families in the gospel, go to the temple, and reach out to their communities in unselfish cooperation and service. Note, Dan B. Clark, former media relations specialist for the San Diego Multi-Region Public Affairs Council, is the executive secretary in the Grossmont Ward, Santee, California stake. End of note. Scripps requested for church's new theater. The assembly building currently under construction adjacent to Temple Square in Salt Lake City will include a 900-seat theater. Latter-day Saint writers and composers are invited to submit summaries of script ideas to be considered for production in the new theater. Four theatrical themes have been approved: Christ-centered Christmas, In the World but Not of the World, The Prophet Joseph Smith, and Pioneer Heritage. All theatrical formats are welcome including drama, comedy, and musical. The new theater's productions will be intended primarily for visitors to Temple Square. Submissions should include the following: a one-page synopsis of the story, a brief outline of main characters, with two or three character synopses, 2 to 3 pages of sample dialogue, lyrics and music for at least one song, if applicable, and the artist's resume. Also, the list of creative works, and 2 or 3 representative samples of previous work. The deadline for script summaries is the 15th of January, 1999. For more information, please contact Promise Valley Productions, Church Office Building, 20th floor, 50 East North Temple, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-6100, USA. Comment. Call for articles. The Ensign is looking for articles focusing on the impact of Sunday school in members' lives. If you have an experience that illustrates the power of Sunday school classes on members or teachers and feel to share it with others, send your article or story by the 15th of January, 1999, to the Ensign Magazine, 23rd floor, 50 East North Temple, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3224. Write Sunday school at the top of your manuscript. Manuscripts will not be returned, but you will be notified if your material is to be used. Update. On page 19 of the November General Conference issue, in President Thomas S. Monson's address titled Think to Thank, two names are misspelled due to a computer spell checking proofing error. The correct spelling of the name of Shelley Iyer's attendant is April Pershon, P-E-R-S-C-H-O-N, and the correct spelling of the name of Murray High School's vice principal is Glo Merrill, G-L-O-M-E-R-R-I-L-L. Helping Youth Belong. I'd like to make a comment about Helping Youth Feel They Belong, April 1998 issue. I totally agree with most of the article about involving youth in decisions to help keep them out of the wrong circles. However, youth and leaders really need to be aware of those who don't feel they fit in because of peer pressure from youth and even leaders. I feel leaders and youth not only have to plan good fun and service activities for the youth, but need to really get to know each of them personally to be sure they are fitting in and want to be there. Leaders need to be on top of things, to watch that all youth are being fellowshipped, to keep them involved in doing things, to listen to and act on any complaints they have about not feeling welcome, and most of all, to be their friend. Good activities and the rest of the things mentioned in the article are important, but more important are love, fellowship, and really feeling needed. I feel these are the keys to our youth staying active in the church and out of the wrong circles. From Christine Roderick, Bellingham, Washington. End of News of the Church and Comment.